Mornings News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Good morning. Hour 2 of Justice and Drew is underway. In just a couple of moments, we'll be speaking with Mark Lauder, former special assistant to the president and press secretary to the vice president, get a State of the Union preview, also get his thoughts on the FISA memo that we were just discussing in the last segment.
And out of Care 11, 20-year-old Minneapolis man accused of attacking two brothers at the Mall of America. He said he was inspired by ISIS.
Yep.
Just admitted it.
Yep.
Mahad Abdirahman has pled guilty to two counts of first-degree assault for the November knife attack. His plea deal calls for 15 and a half years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
It's reported that Mahad said during his Thursday plea that America will never be safe while it's at war with Islam.
Charged with stabbing two staffers with a pen in an inpatient psychiatric unit. He was acquitted due to mental illness. This guy is pledged, you know, allegiance to ISIS, clearly has been radicalized. We did get a statement from the governor's office regarding this, essentially, you know, classified as a terrorist attack.
That's bold of Governor Mark Dayton.
Yeah, very bold.
It's all the
very bold.
All the bold.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sitting here eagerly awaiting any comment from the governor's office on this.
This next one might be worthy of a lengthier conversation or later in the show, or maybe on the Friday roundtable. But according to the Associated Press, the Cleveland Indians are dropping the Chief Wahoo logo from their uniforms next year after decades of protests and complaints that the grinning red face caricature used in one version or another since 1947 is racist. Those complaints, by the way, aren't coming from any American Indians. They're all coming from activist groups who have been trying to get this changed for a long, long time.
Yeah. You know, teams change their logos all the time, though. You know, and that's why people were upset. I saw a lot of people upset with the Cleveland Indians for giving in and all this. But, you know, teams change logos all the time. It's not uncommon. Logos get updated. Logos get revised. You know, that logo, when you compare that logo to a lot of other team logos, especially ones that have been sort of revised in the last several years and a bit more contemporized, it does. It looks cartoonish and it looks old school. So I'm not surprised they finally decided to update.
But I disagree. I agree that logos get changed, but I disagree at the way in which this was done. You know, this is historic. Or this is a historic logo for the Cleveland Indians, and this is a bunch of people, in my opinion, who decided to get offended for other people over this. And I don't like these types of changes being made because of political correctness.
Is that the reason that the team gave?
I don't like the move announced on Monday after protracted discussions between the team owner and the baseball commissioner. This was all, they say this was because of the pressure. The Major League Baseball is committed to building a culture of diversity and inclusion throughout the game, according to the baseball commissioner, Rob Manfred. He said the logo is no longer appropriate for on-field use. So yeah, this is caving to, in my opinion, political correctness, and I don't like these decisions being made because of that.
Well, but the flip side of that is because this became controversial and you had people sort of staking out ground on both sides, it puts the Indians in a tough spot. If they did want to update their logo for other reasons, they either felt like they couldn't because people would accuse them of caving, or they felt like they were obliged to because of the pressures. You know, maybe they just decided it was time for a change.
I don't like giving the power to the individuals who've been pushing this for so long, because it's like I've always argued when it comes to the Washington Redskins. That domino falls and you're just going to see this myriad of lawsuits, you know, from the collegiate level all the way down to grade school, from every caricature and every, you know, school that somebody goes and finds offensive. If they had changed it on their own, you know, apart from any controversy, that would have been one thing. But I understand what you're saying. The controversy's there. If they decided they wanted to change it, they were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
What if they just decided it was time for a change and now they've got to figure out how they're going to spin it?
Yeah.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. We are pleased to be joined by a frequent guest of the show, Mark Lauder, former special assistant to the president. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, you guys.
The State of the Union, Trump's first State of the Union, happening tonight. He did do an address to the joint session of Congress last year, but this is his first official State of the Union address. A lot of speculation about the tone and the direction he's going to take. What are you expecting and what are you looking for from the president tonight?
I tell you, I was speaking with him yesterday at the White House, and I can tell you he's very excited about this speech. And I think what
you'll will you tell him hi from us next time you talk to him? Just say Justice and Drew said hey. Yeah. Thanks.
But what I think you're going to hear him say, he's going to share the excitement that he has about the American economy with the people tonight. He's going to be talking about the things that, you know, I understand Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer think that the Tax Cut and Jobs Act about Wall Street, but it's actually about Walmart. The people who work there, the people who shop there, the people who have FedEx packages delivered to them, the bank tellers, and the people who are installing new cell lines and new fiber connections. It's those are the kinds of people who are benefiting, getting more money in their paychecks, raises and bonuses. So I expect a very positive, uplifting message tonight from the president on the economy and where we're going to go in the future.
Is there anything that the president can do? Well, I'm wording this kind of wonky. There's, you know, the talk has been somewhat about what's expected in the speech tonight, and I hope that that's going to be the takeaway. However, the unfortunate part of this is you've already got five different responses, if not more, being planned for after the State of the Union. You've got individuals who are already saying, I'm going to wear black. We're going to make this about something else. I hope that whatever he has to say tonight doesn't get lost in all of the nonsense swirling around it of people trying to take advantage of the State of the Union for their own agendas.
Yeah, it's really disappointing when you see that. I mean, I understand that there is a traditional response, one response by the minority party, but what we're seeing now is really just more of Democrats practicing the politics of division, because the one thing that the president's going to say in the State of the Union tonight is our union is strong. One union, you know, very strong country. We're doing so much better than we were, say, 2 years ago. When you look at the economy, when you look at the war against terrorism, and this president promised he would identify ISIS as our enemy and go and decimate them, and that's what we're seeing have happen. Those are the kinds of the messages you'll see from the president tonight, and all of this other distraction is exactly that, and it's really just more of the same from Democrats whose only message right now is to resist and divide this country.
Talking with Mark Lauder, what was the nature of the conversation? How long did you have a chance to speak with the president yesterday, and what was the nature of that conversation?
Oh, just a few minutes with him. He had a few folks into the White House to preview the speech. Folks like myself and others who go out and get the opportunity to talk to folks like you and others. And so it was a great opportunity. You can tell, I think he was excited enough. He would have given the speech last night if the House and Senate could have gotten things ready for him. You can see he's raring to go. And, you know, that was the thing that really captured. I know a lot of the coverage you see on the cable news networks and things doesn't really capture that. But this president has such optimism and hope for the future of our country, and he sees what's going on in the economy. He sees what's going on nationally, and even in areas where we're, you know, we have to have very difficult conversations, whether it's renewing trade deals, improving some of our bad trade deals, working with our allies in terms of really effectively confronting things like we see going on in Iran and North Korea. This president is full of optimism and hope, and I know that's something he's going to share tonight.
From Fox News, got a story here. Headline reads, Trump ready to deal in the State of the Union are Democrats. And they write that President Trump will use his first State of the Union address to extend an olive branch across the aisle and signal that he's willing to make bipartisan deals on priorities like immigration and infrastructure. But what's less clear is whether the president will get buy-in from Democrats. Did you get the sense that he is going to use this stage and use this opportunity to lay out some maybe even specific terms of any sort of agreements or deals that he's willing to offer to get some of these priorities done?
I do, especially in terms of immigration. I mean, the president's been very upfront with people and what he believes we should be doing to protect our borders and to improve our national security. But he's also been very clear that he wants to be compassionate with the DACA recipients, the so-called Dreamers. And in the newest framework that he's put out, he's talked about not only giving them the right to stay here and continue to work, but also eventually a pathway to citizenship if they do the things that we expect them to do, like work, have a job, pay taxes, you know, make sure that you're doing the things that it fully integrate you with the American experience. That's something that Democrats have said that they wanted. That was something Democrats said they were fighting for. It's something that Democrats said they were shutting the government down for. And now here's the president saying, I'll meet you on that. I'm willing to do this. Here are my expectations in return. And all we've seen again are Democrats saying, hey, it's not enough, or it's not what they want. I mean, it just shows you that they're more interested in using the issue and talking rather than doing and actually solving problems for the American people.
Well, it absolutely does, and and this is more of a statement than a question, Mark Lauder. But it's fascinating that you have a base, in my opinion, you have a base of Trump supporters that would be willing to compromise on some issues that perhaps many wouldn't think that normally conservatives would want to compromise on. And when you talk about border security, if we do something on the border, I'm of the opinion that people will be more open to doing something about DACA or even with the other individuals that are here in the country illegally. But what I find fascinating is the fact that Democrats actually have opportunities here to get some of what they want done at the behest of the right, because it seems like the president is willing and open to actually hearing their ideas, but they're so stuck with this hashtag resist movement, they can't get out of their own way. It's a fascinating and difficult thing to watch happen.
When you look at the polls, you can see that the president is right on this. I mean, I've seen polls about two-thirds of Americans. There was a Harvard poll that two-thirds of Americans we're talking about how they were willing to provide a fix to DACA, but they wanted to see stronger security at our borders. They wanted to see an end to chain migration and the diversity lottery that's bringing people into our country, not based on who they are or what skills they bring to our country, but just more about where they are. And those are the kinds of things that if Democrats and Republicans can come together, and look, there will be folks on the fringe, both ends of the spectrum, who won't like this deal. And, you know, I've been in government and politics long enough to know that usually when you have an idea where both sides are not 100% happy, you probably have struck a pretty good compromise.
Can you offer any expectation on what you think the president will do or how quickly he'll make a decision when it comes to that House Intelligence Committee and the FISA memo yesterday voting to let it out in the public? I know the president has 5 days. Any thoughts on what might happen and how long it'll take?
No, these are very structured kinds of things, and there is a 5-day review period. And here's the one thing that we have to make sure that we respect, and the president and his team know this, is that when we are dealing with classified information, it's not usually the information itself that's the problem. It's what sources, what methodologies, how did that information or who provided that information. That's really the critical part that you need to protect. So I'm sure the president's team will go through that information once it's provided to them. They will make sure, along with the Justice Department, that our assets and means of how we obtain classified information is protected. And then, but the key is to find out, to get the information out there into the public. Let the public decide this, because once again, we have very serious questions that at some levels, very small number of people at the highest levels of the Justice Department and the FBI, if these allegations that they did not conduct their affairs in accordance with what we expect is the American people need to know that.
Mark Lauder, thank you so much for your time this morning. Always a pleasure to have you on, and we will be watching and tweeting along with the State of the Union tonight, as with everybody else. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Washington Examiner. Democrats and independents are planning at least 5 responses to President's inaugural State of the Union address tonight.
Wait, what?
It's 5.
That's a little excessive.
Well, it may even be more. Oh, God, I'm going to have one, too. I know I said it was, I'm going to do mine. I'm going to stay up late and issue my own response. You can
Sam, will you do a State of the Union response tonight?
Sure. If you pay me $40, I'll say your name during the response.
I'll do it for 25.
The Washington
I'll do it for 10.
The Washington Examiner, though, when they say, okay, so your 5 responses, Trump's State of the Union, a sign of a healthy appetite among the left to rebut Trump on his big night. It's so bold.
Yeah.
It's a bold appetite. It's a bold, healthy appetite.
Yeah. So of all the ones that you got Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
You got Joe Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do the official Democratic response. You've got two other Democratic leaders, Elizabeth Guzman of Virginia. That's the Spanish language one. Maxine Waters is going to deliver a response. Donna Edwards slated to respond on the speech on behalf of the Working Families Party. Which one, if you had, if you could only pick one?
Oh, Maxine Waters.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be
the
craziest.
Easily, yeah. yeah, this just came in, by the way. Carrot Top is also going to be issuing a response, as is Mark Ruffalo. So, you know, looking forward to both of those as well.
Well, Mark Ruffalo, isn't he doing the...
They're doing the people.
They're doing the alternative State of the Union?
I think they did that yesterday, the People State of the Union. It didn't get any coverage. No, so sad. I don't know if anybody actually went.
I'll see if I can find something during the break.
Went to that. 651-989-5855. A couple of points coming up on Andrew McCabe. The FBI's McCabe, a frequent Trump target, abruptly leaves his post. Got an article out of the American Spectator. We want to bring you some details from a little bit of background on McCabe and why this might actually be directed specifically at that FISA memo that might be released here in the next few days. Plus, a little bit later on in the hour, we'll get to U.S. Representative Betty McCollum calling for Trump's impeachment. She's got all the good reasons.
Yeah.
So bold. It's
totally going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and the Justice and Drew page, the very bold show you're listening to currently, along with Sam. If you go to our page, you can see a photo of
change
this.
The name of the station at Twin Cities Bold Talk.
Yeah. Cold Talk.
TCBT.
No. It's an idea.
That is an idea.
It is an idea.
Those are words.
An idea.
It's just not one that I want to hop on board with. Now, this is kind of funny because I believe this ride came up recently. We were talking about Disneyland. It might have been on Movie Talk last week. But if you go to the website and you go to our page, this is out of Fox News, you can see a photo of this along with a video ride through. But the animatronic Ursula at Disney's California Adventure terrified ride goers on Sunday when the villain literally lost her head. So I actually dig this ride. This is a newer, but one of the kind of an old school Disney, if you've been to Disneyland, kind of a dark ride. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And you hop in the little, shell and you go around and you under the sea, right? And you hear the music and you see Ariel and all that. But it's a Little Mermaid ride. Ursula typically sings along to Disney's classic Poor Unfortunate Souls. Park visitors, however, were left stunned when the character's head fell off and was left hanging from cables. Now, if you go check, you look at the photo.
Weirdly, the song continued.
It looks terrifying. It really did look absolutely terrifying. Yeah,
that would freak out a small kid.
That's the point. Is that you kind of think, oh, that's funny, but then you look at it and go, if I were a kid and I saw that, I'd be like, what is going on? it is a really neat ride, though. I dig that ride. So they did fix it, apparently.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So they had...
It wasn't the Johnny Depp they added to the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
You didn't like that?
No.
Oh, my God. You don't like that? But hold on.
That's a terrible ride.
Hold on. No, yeah, see, so you're not allowed to comment, because that's like my favorite ride at Disneyland.
It's not a ride.
You already don't like it, so to say that you don't like it even more because they did something to a ride you don't already like...
If you can walk faster than the vehicle that's carrying you, I don't think you're allowed to call it a ride.
So that's the same thing with this ride?
Yeah, still.
It is. I'm not going to get into this. We can wipe out for the next 20 minutes getting into an argument over your ridiculous assertion. That's an amazing ride.
Boring.
Fantastic.
You know what I do there? I nap.
Yeah, well.
That's where you go to nap.
You know what I do there?
It's an expensive nap.
I have a fantastic
just on that
time.
Ride. Just on that ride. When you need a little break, from all the excitement and fun that is Disney, so cool. You go on Pirates and you take a nice little 20-minute nap.
The ambiance, the smell, the ride. Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. It's my childhood.
I'd love to go on that ride.
Oh, her ride is fantastic. It's my favorite ride.
You'll doze off.
It's so great. You will not. Don't listen to him.
It's so slow.
Yeah, you just don't like fun. when did the child inside you die? Do you know the exact date? Do you know the exact date and time when when the child inside you died?
Yeah, I was riding the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Really? Yeah.
That's when it died.
I feel bad for your inner child that died. I feel really bad for you. that you don't allow yourself the little joys of life.
It's a terrible ride. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't make it. It's not my fault.
I love it, and you're wrong.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, they upgraded it. It's an amazing ride.
Ugh.
Let's go and talk with Dom.
Speaking of pirates.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I've got a quick, thing for Trump's State of the Union.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I'll see about that too. But what he should say is the State of the Union is strong. Believe me, the economy is amazing. Believe me, the Democrats and Republicans want to protect our citizens and also be compassionate. Believe me. So, I requested a path to legalization for 1.8 million DACA recipients and their relatives, and I requested funding for the wall to make our country safe. The USA is now the preferred destination for manufacturing for the rest of the world.
Dom's State of the
Union. Believe
evening.
Me, thank God, and God bless the USA. That's it. You should go home.
Okay.
Whew. Done?
Just getting worried there. can I issue my response now? Good job, Dom.
Dom, are you comfortable with the idea of exchanging wall funding for a path to citizenship, quote unquote? Some might also call it amnesty. Nope, Dom doesn't want to answer that question.
I think he answered that. Yeah, I think he answered that for you.
It was Dom's State of the Union.
The thing of it is, it doesn't matter what Trump says tonight, and that's what bums me out. And that's kind of what I was driving at with our last guest, Mark Lauder, is that it doesn't. The only reason and the only effect that Donald Trump can have is if he has just a solid performance, right? Sticks to the script. He can somewhat, not a lot, but he can somewhat control the media narrative. I do believe there is an opportunity where he can somewhat control the media narrative if he sticks to the script and just does a good job. Apart from that, it doesn't matter what he says tonight. The responses are already written. You know, the counterpoints are already done. It doesn't. None of that is changing based off of his words.
I hope he doesn't stick to the script. I want to see tonight. I want to see debate Trump. I want to see the Trump we saw in the debates with Hillary Clinton. When the Democrats refuse to stand up and applaud, or when they boo, or whatever they do, I want to see him just respond right directly to them. That would be great.
Yeah.
The State of the Union is a waste of time anyway. It's not required. It's become a tradition, but it's not something presidents have to do. You know, they don't have to go and do a big speech in front of the joint session of Congress that's broadcast on all the networks. All they're required to do is issue at some point a State of the Union to Congress. And it can be as simple as a letter going, and it can just say, good.
I'm torn between, because I like that idea. That sounds entertaining.
Good.
That sounds entertaining. It sounds entertaining to get debate Trump. I dig that. But there's also a part of me that would also, I don't want to say appreciate, but also would like to make all of the nonsense around this tonight look stupid by just coming out and just delivering a straight up, you know, this is what we accomplished in the first year. This is the way things are heading. Stick to the script and then let everybody else just be stupid around him. That's like 50-50 for me. On the one hand, I would love to see that. That's great. Yeah. On the other hand, I'd like to see him. I don't want to say high road.
I want to see him like work the audience.
But
like
just Donahue. Be presidential.
Just take the mic, start walking through the chamber, pull a Donahue. So what do you think the State of the Union is?
Sits down next to Pelosi. Wake up, Ruth! Ruth, you're falling asleep. Wake up. 651. We'd be curious to get what you think. 651-989-5855. What do you want to see tonight? Which would you rather see? Would you rather see sort of a, would you say that unhinged? Just unfiltered?
Yeah.
An unfiltered Trump?
Yeah.
Trump unfiltered?
Debate Trump.
Yeah. Would you want to see debate Trump? Or do you want to see Trump, you know, be, or do you want to see presidential Trump?
Right.
Right. 651-989-5855. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. We'll get to some of your comments. And we will talk about how U.S. Representative Betty McCollum wants Trump impeached.
It might not matter which Trump we get tonight. Because if Betty McCollum, you know, has her way, they'll be impeached anyway.
She's going. She's going to be wearing black.
Oh, God.
Yeah. She wears black on the outside because black is how she feels on the inside.
Thank you for your irrelevant opinion.
Justice in...
Twin Cities News Talk. Justice Andrew. Sam is screening your phone call. 651-989-5855. Use the hashtag TCNT. So I won't say what it is right now, but I spent the time during the break. I realized I was being a little bit sort of in the... I was kind of conflicted on what Trump I want to see tonight. I've come to a conclusion. Okay. So I'm going to share that with you. Because I was kind of 50-50. We were talking about it. I thought more about it, and I now have my definitive... On what I want to see from Trump tonight during the State of the Union.
Right, you've settled.
I have settled, so I'll let you know what that is in a moment. Though we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Do you want to see debate Trump, or do you want to see sort of presidential Trump? You want to see unfiltered, unhinged Trump, or so just do the speech
just
and
do it, just
get
play
out.
It straight, Trump.
Yeah.
651-989-5855 is the phone number, and of course you can respond via Twitter as well. Just use the hashtag TCNT, so we'll see it. Joel. Calling from Montrose. Good morning, Joel. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
I want to see debate Trump, you know, and I got a couple of designs I'd like to see him throw out there. And that's, one of them would be, Ruth Bader would be here, but she decided to sleep in bed tonight instead of on a chair. And another one would be, since I'm from North St. Paul, I know what Betty's been like her whole political career. Betty, I see you're wearing black tonight, just like the color of your heart, just like it's always been. You're angry and nothing else.
If we're gonna have to endure these sort of pointless State of the Union addresses, let's make them fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
Thanks for your call, Joel. Yeah, I want to see him like work the room, you know, Donahue style. Like, hey, Nancy, where's Nancy? Stand up, Nancy.
I see
you out there, Chuck.
I'm with you now. I've decided that I want to see debate Trump, but I want him to go all in. Like, I want him to get up there behind the podium and get so obnoxious that Democrats start walking out. That's what I want to see. I want him to just get up there and be like, look, I've been taking your crap for a year. This is what we've accomplished in this year. We, you know, look at the economy, look at the stock market, look at the regulations that we rolled back. I would see him throw out, I'm with you now, I want to see him throw out the speech and just honest, authentic, lay into them to the point where they just start walking out and the GOP can start cheering. That's heck with the high road, man.
Have some fun with it.
High road's not going to do him any good.
Right.
They're just going to complain
They're going to call him a racist. They're going to call him a Nazi. They're going to call him a bigot. They're going to call him every name in the book anyway.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He can go out there and give the Democrats every, you know, according to this Fox News article we were referencing earlier, you know, he's going to go out there tonight. He's planning and offering deals and let Democrats know he's ready to reach across the aisle and give them, you know, what they want in exchange for what he wants and et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't matter. It's not like after the speech they're going to go, oh, well, we weren't expecting that. That's not bad.
Right.
Okay. All right. We can work with this president. They're not going to do that.
No.
They are so beholden to the hashtag resist. They're so beholden to their activist base that if they even give an inch, and this gives such an advantage to Trump because he can offer them everything they want and they're still going to push back on him and they're still not going to want to make a deal with him. And that gives him so much leverage and so much leeway.
Yeah. Like I said, the only thing that he, I don't want to say control, but the only sort of net positive that he could possibly have is if he did, in my opinion, if he did go out there and just do a straight up, this is what we've accomplished, this is what I want to do moving forward, sticks to the script, he has the potential for the media to simply say, that was a presidential speech, right? But that's the most that he's going to be able to get out of tonight. He's not going to get, as you said, and I won't repeat it, he's not going to get any net positives from anybody else other than that. But what he could do is, if he goes out there and is, I don't want to say unhinged, but is unleashed and is open and is and authentic and lets those that have been giving him a hard time and irrationally criticizing him for a year have it, that could do a lot to bolster the base and those that, you know, put him in office in the first place. What I think we'll get is a straight up State of the Union. This is what I want to do. This is what we've accomplished with a little bit of deviance here or there. That's probably what's going to end up happening.
Yeah.
He'll probably go off a little bit on a couple, and you know when he will.
Well, we saw it, you know, we saw it with that meeting that was televised and, you know, the immigration meeting. And after that meeting, you know, even the Democratic pundits on CNN and MSNBC were saying, That was pretty cool.
Right.
That was very presidential. That was a neat moment. And they appreciated. What happened the next day? The Democrats that were all in that meeting completely turned on him. The rest of the week became dominated by the S-hole comment, which, you know, Trump might have made that own bed. But at the same time, in that meeting, he made them offers. He put things on the table. And they refuse to negotiate. They refuse to work with this president.
Do you know that after, and 651-989-5855, you want to call in and comment. But do you know after all this time and that whole meeting, and we'll get to the phone calls here, Dick Durbin is the only one. He is the only one who was in that room, who has spoken to the public, who said that he made those statements.
Yeah.
Nobody else backed up. Not saying it didn't happen, but Dick Durbin was the only one to say that's exactly what he said after all this time. Let's go and talk with Mark. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk. Justice and Drew, what are your thoughts on this?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I'd like to see President Trump do the debate, President Trump, but I'd like to also have him add a little skit of him reading out of Hillary's book, Wahapod!
That would be really funny.
That
would be so great.
Carrying what happened to the podium?
Wow. How fantastic would that be? Before I start the State of the Union, let me read an excerpt from Hillary Clinton's What Happened.
What happened? I don't know. Mike in Stillwater, good morning.
Good morning. I'm just wondering if you fellas have a preferred Democrat to yell from the gallery, you lie, like Wilson did to Obama a couple of years ago.
Hmm.
Anybody that stands out to you and should yell from the gallery, hey, you lie, like your Republican friend did?
Probably Schiff.
You think Schiff? What? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't really matter. Did that happen?
Oh, of course it matters.
Did that happen?
Oh, yours? Who's yours, Mark? Mike?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you have one?
No, of course not. I wouldn't have had anyone do it. I think that they should read. But how in the world do you think that this country is ever going to get along when you mock and ridicule Democrats and then Stephanie Miller mocks and ridicules Republicans? Isn't somebody going to take the high road and say, okay, I disagree, but I'm not going to call you names. I'm not going to laugh at you. I'm not going to ridicule you. I disagree with you and find out. But who's going to be the first? Are you guys or Stephanie Miller going to be the first or someone like that?
Well, I didn't know we were the arbiters of and had that much power. I'm just here to entertain, Mike.
You laugh at people.
Yeah.
You mock
them.
Yep. You ridicule if they don't agree with you.
Yep.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes people are worthy of being mocked or ridiculed.
Yeah, you're borderline worthy of being mocked. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting close.
Well, then you're okay with people laughing and ridiculing and mocking you.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Oh, 100%. If somebody's got a reason to laugh and mock at me, bring it on.
I encourage it.
Yeah.
Well,
because, look, we got to laugh. We got to have some fun, right?
Your political leanings are to be ridiculed and mocked. But
sure, okay. If that's how you feel.
Well, anyway, you watch the
Mike?
And enjoy
Mike?
It, and I'll watch it as well. We'll chat later.
Mike, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you watch shows like John Oliver or Bill Maher or Seth Meyers or any of those late night talk shows or Saturday Night Live?
I do not.
Yeah, no. What do you have a sense of humor?
I'm usually getting back to work in the morning. Retired, work half days.
Okay. All right.
So I watch. I go back when there's a commercial on. I switch over to Fox, and when the commercial comes on Fox, I switch over to MSNBC.
Right.
So I listen to both sides. Yeah. I don't just say.
So do we.
Every Republican is wrong, and every Democrat is right.
Right.
There's good on both sides, but you should not continue.
Sure.
To go on and ridicule and mock people and expect people to get along.
But Mike, this is the unfortunate. And stay on the line here for a second. This is the truth, though. If you do listen to the show. You'll hear the same thing from us. Oftentimes, hold on. Oftentimes, you're just going to hear what it is you want to hear. I have friends that are Democrats. I don't agree with their political leanings, but I'm still friends with them. So I'm certainly and I'm not saying that everything that President Trump has done is great. There's a lot of stuff that he's done that sucks, and we've called that out as well.
And,
so
and mocked him.
Yeah.
Really. And when the fella called earlier and said, "Is McCollum going to wear a black dress just like her heart?" That does nothing to promote friendship in political parties. All it does is go, well, you're going to call somebody from my party name. Well, I'm going to call somebody from your party name.
But back and forth.
But it never ends.
It's always been like that.
Then when the Civil War starts again.
Mike, come on.
How can it be that?
Do you think there's ever been a time in this country when people with political disagreements haven't gone after each other in very harsh terms and even mocked and ridiculed them? Of course. And you know what? It's always going to be like that because we have genuine disagreements on issues. We're not going to just get along.
Do you have to laugh at Tom because he has a difference of opinion?
Yes, Dom, because he made me laugh.
He's a performer, you laugh at him.
Because what he did was funny.
And we laugh at him, Mike, when he's irrational. And to your point about U.S. Representative Betty McCollum, she's calling for impeachment of Trump with absolutely no good reason whatsoever. She has no basis. Okay. Hold on, Mike.
And he should calm himself down as well.
Mike.
And let's let the process work out. But
Mike, shut up for a minute.
Apparently we're not.
Mike, hold on. Okay, with Betty McCollum has no good reason, no good substantiated reason to call for Trump's impeachment other than she doesn't like him. At the same time, she's going to go to the State of the Union tonight and wear black in solidarity with women. That's her own agenda, and yeah, in my book, both of those things are worthy of mocking because she's being dumb.
All right. Okay, so when Mr. Trump, on however many months he campaigned, said, build the wall. Who's going to pay for it in the crowd? Mexico. They all got it. Now we have to come up with money to pay for a wall that he said time after time after time in campaigning that Mexico is going to pay for it. Yeah. Do you think that's okay?
You got me there, Mike.
Well,
you're right. Mexico's not going to pay for that wall. I never believed that Mexico was going to pay for that wall, and I thought that was kind of silly for him to go and say that. And I said that at the time.
I mocked it.
You guys just keep it. I do listen. I listen to you guys.
Thanks, man.
Stephanie Miller. I try and keep.
No, we appreciate it.
I try and listen to everybody. So yeah. When I discuss with people, I don't have to call them names. Yeah. I think that we can figure out a way to do things if we're adults and civilized and God bless you and your family.
Yeah, you're doing a bang up job so far, Mike. God bless you as well.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. Look, man, I get frustrated with this idea that why can't we just all get along? It's like because we have genuine disagreements. Like serious disagreements on politics and policies and issues, and we're coming at things from different perspectives. And we have elections every once in a while, and some, the best ideas or the best candidates win those elections, and agendas get moved forward. And then when you're discussing these things, you're going to have genuine disagreements. We're never going to just get along.
No, it's never.
One big happy party.
No, it's never going to happen, right? You know, because Drew thinks that Pirates of the Caribbean is an awful ride, and he's totally wrong.
No, it's awful. Disney should just implode it, like the Vegas.
You shut your mouth!
Joel, go ahead.
Hey, you know, this is a comment on Mike, and I'm not being sarcastic.
You can be.
I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to be cruel at all, but I mean, there was like 40 years where the Republicans just stood there and let the Democrats just roll over us, you know, ridicule, cut us down, lie about us, say we're,
that still
say
happens.
We're fascist, we're racist, we hate women, we hate the poor, we hate this, we hate that. And Republicans didn't do anything about it. You know what? It's time that we finally get a politician who stands up for us, and he's going to say we need to go back to what we were. I'm sorry. We got nowhere sitting there letting them do that.
And it still goes on. And it still goes on. It doesn't matter what you do. I've said it before on the show. They ran the same playbook that they ran against Donald Trump. They used the same playbook against a guy like Mitt Romney. You can't find two more different personalities.
Right.
And they called him every single name that they called Donald Trump. So it doesn't matter. They have one playbook. Accuse your Republican opponents of the most horrible, awful things that you can dream up, and hope enough of it sticks, and put them on the defensive.
651-989-5855. Let's talk to Bob in St. Paul. Good morning, Bob. Welcome to Justice and Drew.
Morning. I would like to see Trump just nail the Democrats. Just go right after him tonight and tell him know, I don't want Trump to budge one iota. I think every one of these DACA or Dreamers should be deported, every one of them. And I think he should go after Pelosi or Dick Schumer, you know, and, you know, you're not for American citizens. You're not for this country. All you care is about your votes.
Thanks for the call, Bob. I disagree on the DACA point. You know, that's I don't begrudge anybody who took advantage of the DACA program. They did. They were given that offer. Unfortunately, you know, Obama put the stipulation in there of a few years so that we're having this debate. I'm open to having a conversation about doing something about the DACA recipients, specifically just them, if it goes along with border security as well. Mike's phone call it makes me laugh, and it's such a weird place that we're in right now, because you don't get it. You don't get anywhere with that type of mentality. Both sides engage in the same type of talk. Talk radio doesn't have near as much power as what everybody thinks that it does. I wish it did, but it doesn't. And we have our own very specific rules of engagement. And I'm absolutely 100% fine. If somebody wants to mock me for my position on what I say or whatever, always have been and always will be. But it's funny, because anytime anybody ever goes and says, oh, you're a racist. Okay, provide me one shred of evidence of me ever being a racist. And then you just get, you know, the crickets. you get nothing. But, you know, if we all just got along,
you're right,
and stopped calling each other names, because things were so much better when Obama was in office. Right?
Right. Yeah, no, Republicans and conservatives were never mocked when Obama was in office. They didn't have. They treated him with the utmost respect. Bob and Chanhassen, good morning.
Yeah, I just had a comment. That guy that was calling and talking about how Stephanie Miller, he listens to Stephanie Miller.
Right.
That's all she does is put down people that oppose her. It's just it was a joke.
And yeah, well, it sounds like he wasn't. He didn't really appreciate that about Stephanie either. At least that's how I took it.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that part, but you know, I'm just curious. So I'm wondering if he calls up her and says the same thing. How, you know, we need to tone down the rhetoric and try and get along with each other, which I doubt very highly. But that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, I do. I do find it. Thanks for the call. I do find it amusing that for somebody that wants, you know, a better political discourse and people not calling other individuals names, that he's listening to our show and Stephanie Miller. It's like, just, you know, go listen to something boring.
Right.
Obviously, we're doing something right.
There's a gigantic tax-funded entity out there that's probably right up your alley.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't listen to things or watch things that bore me. They may bore other people, but I don't particularly do that. We brought it up, so we might as well give you the reasoning. Out of the Star Tribune, U.S. Representative Betty McCollum, first member of Minnesota's congressional delegation to call for President Trump's impeachment. Huh? We're in this position because of President Trump, said McCollum, who signed on as the Democratic co-sponsor to the articles of impeachment yesterday. He is the one who is undermining justice by trying to obstruct it. He's had a year to change his behavior. He's had a year to release his taxes. He's had a year to prove to members of Congress that he takes his constitutional responsibilities seriously. So her rationale for wanting Trump impeached is that she doesn't think that he's serious enough.
Right.
She doesn't like his behavior, and she thinks that he's obstructing justice, but doesn't provide any evidence of that, and he hasn't released his taxes. Well, by all means.
There you go.
Please move forward with all the impeachment.
I look forward to President Pence. More of your calls, Diane, Jerry, everybody else hanging on the line, 651-989-5855. We will get to your calls. Also, in about 30 minutes, we're going to be joined by Pete Hegseth from Fox News, get his thoughts on what to expect from the State of the Union tonight. Also, he's got a piece from Fox News that we'll get into when it comes to, should the president offer any immigration deals, use this platform tonight to do that.
Justice and